broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
We have had a big time trouble getting enough ammunition in here.
Obviously, the president believes there has to be a strong...
It's a tax code full of corporate loopholes that makes it perfectly legal for companies to avoid paying their fair share.
Well, let me put encouraging in context. Every year with seasonal flu, we see 36,000 deaths.
Isn't that good news? Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. I'm a left wing, I ain't right wing, and I damn sure am not independent or libertarian, okay? All we're trying to do is get at something called the truth, and that is the niche that we've been able to discover here, because with half of these people calling themselves liberal, and there's a few other calling themselves conservative, and there's a few other old, tired men calling themselves independent and libertarian, there was one niche that nobody took. It was called, how about a little bit of truth? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, because literally right up to the time that we got on the air tonight, I was getting some information because I said, you know, I'm getting a little weary personally. Now, I'll tell you right now, on this show, I challenge anybody who's on the air today, any cat who does a talk show, any woman who does a talk show, anybody who does a TV talk show, there's not a one of them, that has my ability to pull together facts and communicate them in as entertaining a way as I do, right?
Well, Rush Limbaugh is good, too.
Rush is good, but he's coming from this highly ideologic point of view. He's coming from this skewed point of view. In other words, point of view is more important than truth, see? Now, let's talk about this ammo shortage. Let's talk about this, okay? I saw my good friend, by the way, Jack Kemp died over the weekend, the former quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. That's what I always remember him doing. But he was a hell of a politician, of a leader, and I'll tell you, if the Republican Party could use a Jack Kemp, they could sure use him right now, and guess what? He's dead. Because you guys are walking around with your head shoved so far up your rear ends, you're still talking about Palin. Now, let me explain before you think you're listening to a liberal show. Because a lot of people have been trained like dogs, trained to think that when they hear opinion A, they have political ideology B. This is not people listening to the radio and making up their minds and saying, critically, I'm analyzing. No. This is nothing more than a dog reacting to a bell. This is Pavlovian. Now, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I support gun rights. I own a gun. I support gun rights. I understand every man, woman out there, when they say, you ain't taking my gun away from me, I understand the mindset. I really do. I believe that everybody should own a gun. If you want my honest opinion, everyone who is legally entitled and responsible and qualified should own a gun. It's your constitutional right. Now, having said that, and I don't know why the NRA isn't weighing in on this. I don't know who got the rumor started, but it was somebody equally as stupid, in my opinion, as the guy that said that Obama wants to bring socialism back. Now, understand, this is coming from a gun rights advocate. I can't stress that anymore with you. But something has happened to the point, folks, listen to this, because a lot of you don't, you're not aware of this. There is an ammo shortage because the stupid, silly little bastards out there that own guns were, maybe they were listening to their favorite weird ass way up at the ghetto end of the dial, which is probably where we are in a lot of stations, but, you know, some cat that brokers his time, you know, some dude that buys 3 hours so he can get on the air and talk about 9/11 theories of, you know, inside job, and then we can get to whatever UFOs and Obama doctoring his birth certificate, and, you know, all of that stuff, right? Because I think that's where maybe a lot of these rumors got started. But I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, as a gun rights advocate, and let me go even further than that, as a guy who voted for Barack Obama, and let me go even further than that, as a guy who supports the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, as a guy who supports the notion and the idea behind the Patriot Act. That's right. That's right. I understand the Patriot Act, see? I understand what it is. I understand what it is an extension of. I'm not running around like, you know, like some monkey that's been, you know, electrocuted in a cage, jumping up and down every time somebody blows the switch and, you know, we're kind of hopping this way, we're hopping that way, right? I mean, either you think it for yourself or you're not. And I will tell you right now, when you listen to somebody on the radio say, I voted for Obama, and you automatically say he's a liberal, you're just like that ape in the cage getting a switch thrown on you. That's not called knowing the facts. That's not called listening to the facts. It's not called being aware. That's called being a Pavlovian dog, a laboratory rat. That's what that is. And I'm telling you right now, these guys that are running, I mean, I got to laugh. These cats that are running, making a run on ammo, these dudes that are buying up all the ammo, you guys are nothing more than laboratory rats, Pavlovian dogs. Now, let me explain something to you.
Oh, well, you're just, you like Obama.
Oh, come on, will you get real? I just got done telling you. There's no way in hell, no way in hell that I would support this president if he wanted to take guns away. There would have been no way in hell, quite frankly, that I would support this president if he was going to start prosecuting people for waterboarding. I knew he wasn't going to do it. I knew he wasn't going to do it before he got elected. I knew he wasn't going to take anybody's guns away before he got elected. How is it that Phil Hendry knew all of this stuff, and I'm not as smart as, you know, anybody else in the room? I mean, on average, I'm probably just as bright or as dumb as anybody. How is it I got this figured out, and we got so many stupid bastards running around buying ammo to the point where there isn't any left, and they call themselves informed? Informed. All right, now, let me get to the audio, all right?
You're omniscient and everything, aren't you?
Which, how do you know a word like omniscient?
You're godlike.
Don't get smart with me, man.
You think you're God. Shut up.
God, you know. All right, so here it is, man. We were going to bury this story tonight, and I said, no, there's no way, man. We got some kind of weird thing going on out there where people are stocking up on ammo. Are you people aware of this? And why is that? Because these people who, I don't know who you are, man. I don't know any gun owners that are running out and buying. I don't know who you people are. You must be like five guys running out and buying all the ammo, because I don't know one person that owns guns that's running out in a blind sweat to buy ammo. And yet there's an ammo shortage in gun shops across the country. They're reporting a run on ammunition driven by a fear that Obama will increase taxes on bullets or enact new gun control measures. Now, I don't know. I don't want to go anywhere weird with this, but I'm going to tell you something right now. When Bill Clinton was elected president, last time I checked, he was a Democrat. I didn't see anybody running out and getting ammo. And guess what? The assault weapons ban, it was enacted during the administration, the first administration of Bill Clinton. Maybe straddling the second. What's that about? I don't understand. What's that about? Bill Clinton put into place an assault weapons ban. 2 weeks ago, Robert Gibbs, who is the sometimes fumbling, many times not very communicative, but nonetheless, he is the press secretary. Here is what Robert Gibbs said. What's the name of this bloody audio? Gun laws, right?
Yeah, it's right here.
Here's Robert Gibbs talking about the Obama stance on the assault weapons ban. 2 weeks ago, he said he wasn't going to pursue it.
I think the president's the president believes particularly that there are other strategies that we can take to enforce the laws that are already on our books. And that's not something
that he lacks courage.
Oh, Helen, lay down.
Go ahead with this.
Lay down.
I'm sure the New York Times is going to say a lot of things over the course of the next few
years. Why isn't he taking a stand against these weapons?
Well, I the president is concerned.
Guess you
about
had him wrong, Helen.
And,
you know,
that's one of the reasons.
About violence, what's he going to do about it?
Well, he asked the Congress to put in a Recovery Act to put more police officers on the street to keep us safe, and we're happy that that
concerned about
that
violence.
Happened.
Concerned about violence, Helen. Just shut up, you know, because the president wants to come in here and you know.
What's that mean?
If you keep on talking. Now, that may not be enough for some people. Here is Obama during the campaign. I don't know if anybody's interested.
But I've been very consistent. I teach constitutional law. What I said was that I believe in Second Amendment as being an individual right and have said that consistently. I also think that that individual right is constrained by the rights of the community to maintain issues of public safety. I don't think those two principles are contradictory, and in fact, what I've been saying consistently is what the Supreme Court essentially said today. The D.C. law may have been struck down, but they also affirmed the right to, for local communities to engage in background checks and other common sense laws that most lawful gun owners would agree with. And so I think that we can move beyond some of the conflicts on this issue, make sure that law-abiding gun owners have their rights respected, and at the same time, make sure that we don't see the kinds of murders and devastation that we've seen on the streets of so many of our cities.
Right, nobody wants. See, a lot of gun owners just don't want to hear that. They don't want to see. You want to know something? I'm going to tell you this, and I don't give a damn if we're late for the break. We'll go a couple of minutes, okay, bud?
What do I know?
Quit waving your arms, will you? Quit waving. To change your point of view is the most frightening thing. It's more frightening than cancer. For some people, it's more frightening than losing their sight. It's more frightening than being gelded by the front end of a forklift. It's more frightening than just about anything, to change one's point of view. Because if you change your point of view, well, then you basically change your view of how current events are transpiring. And some people would rather die before they do that. So if you listen to this man, and here he is during the campaign in September of 08.
I just want to be absolutely clear, all right? So I don't want any misunderstanding when y'all go home and you're talking to your buddies and they say, he wants to take my gun away. You've heard it here. I'm on television, so everybody knows it. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in people's lawful right to bear arms. I will not take your shotgun away. I will not take your rifle away. I won't take your handgun away. So, you know, there's some common sense gun safety laws that I believe in. But I am not going to take your guns away. So if you want to find an excuse not to vote for me, don't use that one.
All right, you heard the man there, okay? As recently as 2 weeks ago, they said they're going to back off the assault weapons ban. They talk more about enforcement. And yet today, there's a shortage of ammunition because, and this does not speak well for some gun owners, I'm telling you, this because there's apparently a segment of the gun-owning public that isn't too bright. I'm laying it out. I'm going to lay it down for you. Ain't too bright. And it falls in line with the other things I've been saying. If you automatically knee-jerk, make an opinion about somebody, he's black and he's liberal, or he's a Democrat, against guns, you know, everything shut down, no more information, overload. It's like doing a talk show. I voted for Barack Obama. You're a liberal, huh? They don't want to hear anything else you got to say. Now, there's the guy talking about it. I got money that says that while this ammo frenzy is going to go away, it's going to take a while, because it's going to take a while for some of this information to seep into the cracks and the corners and the baseboards where some of these people live. Man, I don't even know where they live. All right, coming back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. We also have something else that's going to shock the hell out of people. Obama may revive the Guantanamo military courts. I guess that's going to bum somebody out someplace and just completely, you know, blast the worldview of someone else. We'll be back. We have John Hontz in our first segment here on Out of the Box Night. It's going to be cool. He's going to be talking about the Antarctica Marathon, 26-mile run on the continent of Antarctica. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Coming right back.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Okay, John Hunt's coming up in a few minutes on the Antarctica Marathon. And if you are a fan of our uncensored podcast on our website, philhendryshow.com, I'm going to have one tomorrow that's going to, man, it's going to ride the wig off of somebody. I don't know who. Check philhendryshow.com for our uncensored podcast. Download it. Take it with you. You can even have the kids with you. Just listen to it on the iPod. They won't hear a word of my sometimes profane language. Here is Charlie listening to us in Wichita on KFH tonight. Charlie, how are you tonight?
Well, pretty good.
Good. What can I do for you, sir?
Well, I haven't ever called usually in on phones like this here, but you're right about
right.
People buying a lot of ammo. And different gun shows I've been to, people walk out with 1,000-round boxes of ammo.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it seems like whoever started up the rumor that an article that I've read about serializing bullets,
mm-hmm.
I guess it's part of what's driven from. So whether or not they can register the bullets.
Well, do you believe it?
Pass a law.
Hmm? Do you believe it? Do you believe it?
Well, they could do it on regular pistol and high-powered rifle.
There's a lot of stuff they can do. They register your gun. You know, you register your gun. They got the number on that.
True.
What's the problem? Even if they were going to put numbers on bullets, so what?
Well, the problem is they're jacking up the price on them so high already.
Well, what about what I was talking about? Who are the people that are going out and buying this ammo? What do you think about their mindset? What do you think about their intelligence, to be quite frank? I mean, I don't understand the run on bullets. Either there are a bunch of criminals who think they're going to be serial numbers on bullets and they won't be able to, you know, kill somebody and get away with it, or they're just panicked people who think Obama's going to take their guns and their bullets.
Well,
but either way, I don't have. Do you have any regard for these people?
Well, myself, I shoot rifles and pistols, and the big problem is just trying to buy, you know, a couple boxes here or thereabouts.
Well, I would suggest that maybe the NRA or some other body can, you know, communicate directly with gun owners and say they're not taking your guns. They're not going to take your ammo. You know, you guys are in a panic and you believe something that doesn't exist. All right.
Well, just trying to buy, like I say, regular ammo, even at Walmart or.
Right. Well, it's all those other guys that have the guns. They're going in there and they're taking your ammo from you. It isn't the government. It's your local hunting club.
Well, not too much hunting club. I think everybody's...
Well, whatever, man. But this is an example of what we talk about on the show. It's not the government you got to fear. It's the uninformed, misinformed, and otherwise frighteningly bewildered neighbor. Good God, that's who I'm afraid of now. Guns have been effectively elevated to the level of a black magic talisman that draw evil spirits. Well, that's not the case. I'm here to tell you folks, you'll be happy to know, that a gun is a collection of components and parts that does a certain thing if it's operated properly. To wit, if somebody's crawling through a bedroom window, you can blow their freaking head off with it. How about that? But you're made to feel ashamed, you're made to feel like you're a criminal, and let's not forget you're a right-wing gun nut. If you ask, may I exercise my constitutional right and own a gun? Yeah, nursing homes ought to have them, schools ought to have them, malls ought to have them, homes should have them. Conceal and carry should be allowed on campuses. Oh, yeah. And this other argument that is about as feckless as it gets, which is the following. If everybody has a gun, it'll be a Wild West show. Why's that? So what you're saying then, in other words, is you're affirming the superstition that the gun creates some voodoo that makes the person want to be violent. Is that it? So are we back now to video games create violence, TV shows create violence, and we're back to in other words, we're back in the early 1980s all over again. Judas Priest, you know. Nirvana, all these cats, that's why kids were blowing their heads off. Not because they were fundamentally, functionally warped, but because of all of these external things. So now we're gonna bring that into the gun debate. If everybody has a gun, then they turn into Wyatt Earp. That just isn't the facts. And I don't know how many people with any real brains are listening out there who aren't regular listeners of our shows. In other words, people in the public sector, people who are public servants, people who are elected representatives, and particularly Democrats, my fellow Democrats, why in the name of God did the gun lobby hijack, or excuse me, the gun control lobby hijack our political party? How is it that so many stupid things glommed on to the Democratic Party in such rapid succession? I'm a Democrat. I believe in guns. Doesn't make me less of a freaking Democrat.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Time now for, as you like to hear them, our celebrity interview with prominent individuals in the news. And it's an interview as you like to hear them. With us tonight, we have Bill Maher. And I understand that Bill is at an area nightclub in Los Angeles. Matter of fact, is it at the area that you're at, Bill? What? Hold on. Is he there?
Mr. Maher, yeah. Hi. I really enjoyed that one show.
Can you get him on the air and not talk to him? Bill?
Hi, Bill. Bill Maher.
Where are you? You're at the area?
Yeah, that's the name of the club, the area, and I'm having a cocktail here, and I understand you wanted to interview me. If you, pardon me, let me just get to an area where I can, I can't hear in the area, so I have to get to an area in the area here. Hold on for a minute. What's that say? No, that tall black chick here.
Well, Bill, all right, because I can hear you talking to people.
Oh, okay.
You can hear me, huh?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Bill, you were quoted this week as saying that President Obama, and you were on TV today, I saw you talking to, I think, Wolf Blitzer, that President Obama is disappointing you, and that he is not getting out there.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't say that.
I mean, he's not getting back to the Oval Office and getting work done. He's too prominent, right?
Yeah, that was what I said. And the reason why I said that is because I'm nervous that he's not being the progressive that I wanted him to be, and that everybody else wanted him to be. He seems to be going some other way, and it's bothering me. So I needed to find an excuse, and the excuse that I found was that he's out. He's taking too much time hanging around, you know, and doing.
Well, you don't really believe that?
No, I don't believe that. I mean,
what is your thinking? I mean, in other words, you believe that he's turned out to be a president that you didn't think he'd be?
Yeah, you know, and Phil, before you get into that, and you know, hey, Bill, score one for Phil. I get it already. Okay, you've been blowing your own horn on that thing, man, since you got elected.
Well, I need to remind people of this because now you're the most prominent of all of them, who's come out and said, wow, Obama, he's real different than what I thought he would be.
Well, he is different from what I thought he'd be, okay? Now, what you want, though, is you want me to... Look, I don't want to yell at you, all right?
You're going to have to yell, because I can barely hear you over that music. Where are you?
I told you, I'm at Area. Oh, I get it. You think it's a gay bar?
Frankly?
Boy, you got some guts, don't you? No, I'm not at a gay bar, and if I were, I wouldn't have a problem admitting it. I know what I said today on Blitzer, that I didn't get the gay thing. I don't get marriage.
Are you a homophobe?
Am I a homophobe? You think I'm going to come out and say that? I guess I would. This is an interview called As You... Yeah, I think I probably am a little bit of a homophobe. It's because I'm only 5'2", and I've got a shock of red hair and that big fat nose on me, and that's why I date black women that are a foot taller than me. I want everybody to know that I am fully, functionally... be a heterosexual, okay? Do you get it? Finally!
Well, Bill, you've only got yourself to blame when you're making comments like you don't get the whole gay thing. It's obvious you're trying to stress something, and it must be your own heterosexuality.
Yes, okay, can we move on?
Well, let's move on to what it was we were talking about. So what is it about Obama that is disappointing you?
The things that you said. The thing, I didn't listen to him during the campaign. I thought he was going to be somebody else. I'm disappointed in myself, yes. But do you think I'm not going to go out there and admit that? I got a TV show. I'm on HBO. You know, every week I got people on, and I can use the F word, which, frankly, I'm glad I'm on HBO. I'm glad. I'm so happy. I bet you ABC thinks that I'm sorry that, you know, that I don't have that gig. No, I'm not. I'm way happier.
Why would you be happier at HBO where you got far fewer viewers, where you got way more viewership at ABC that Jimmy Kimmel is now vacuuming up?
You know what? Jimmy Kimmel can rot. He can rot in a ditch. Jimmy Kimmel is roadkill to me. And you, oh, so you're saying Jimmy Kimmel is getting all that audience that I could have had I been a little bit smarter with what I was saying?
Exactly, yeah. You'd still be on ABC, you'd be pulling down some pretty good money, and you'd be pulling down some big audience numbers. But you're, well, let's forget about that, okay? What I want to ask you is if you feel that Obama is not the progressive style president that you thought he would be, why don't you just come out and say that to people instead of trying to put some gloss on it?
If I come out and say that to people, then I'm going to have to act. Then I'm going to have to say that I was wrong. I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm Bill Maher. I'm not wrong. You know I never say that I'm wrong. Even when I got fired from ABC for being stupid, I never said it was my fault. I blamed them. I got angry. I got temperamental. I got petulant. I went on HBO and started throwing around the four-letter words. And now I got this gig, and this is what I do. I'm grateful for the fact that Wolf had me on. Whatever. I mean, he has everything. But let me just clarify something. Just because I didn't know what kind of a president Obama was going to be doesn't mean that I have to say it even on this show, even though I know I've just said it. I want it made very clear to people that Obama would be a better president were he not out there fooling around getting hamburgers with Biden. One day he's swatting a fly with some other jackass. I don't know. Where was that?
That was at the White House.
Well, okay. But what's he doing? See,
he was at the White House, Bill. What, are you going to complain about that?
Well, I don't know what he's doing. He's at the White House, and he's beating up on flies. Why doesn't he get some work done, which is my public stance?
That's your public stance, but privately you've admitted to me that the guy is not the president you thought he was. So how are you going to deal with that?
I got to keep coming up with excuses. I got to keep coming to God. Why did I come into this dump?
Yeah, there's some funky music going on there, man. It's real.
Well, it's funky. Hold on. Oh, I like this. I said, not right now. I said that I'm going to have to keep coming up with reasons why it is I am not, that I don't like him. Now, if this wears thin about you better get back to the White House and go to work.
Yeah, what happens if he does actually get back to the White House and go to work?
I'm going to have to say that he still isn't working hard enough.
See, I don't know if you heard my security guy here, Robert, a moment ago. When you said that Obama needs to get back to the White House and really get some work done, he said, aha, the white guy telling the black guy to get back to work under the whip.
And look, you know as well as I do. You know as well as I do, and I want to say this, and I know I've heard Margaret Gray whisper, so maybe not as many people, but you know a lot of the whites that voted for him. We wanted to see him get to work.
Hey, Bill, don't be a jackass.
What?
Everybody can hear you.
All right. I said, you know that all the white people that voted for him had, we were nervous that he wouldn't hit it. I did the joke about who's going to wake him up, you know, who's going to, when he sleeps through the alarm.
So you're afraid that because he's a black president, he's not working hard enough?
No, I'm not. In other words, on my show, no, I would. I think it's very unfair that you have this interview, Phil, where I have to tell the truth.
But that's what this is about. So I'm asking you, Mar, are you saying that Obama ain't working hard enough because you white people expected more out of him than what you're getting?
Boy, I hate you for saying
that. Are you saying that? Yes or no?
Yes, I am saying that, but no, I'm not. I don't want. Do you have black listeners?
I probably do, yeah.
Can't we get on Kathy Griffin and how marvelous her facelift came out? I mean,
No, we're going to keep talking about this.
I know that President Obama, I would like him to get, yes, all right, yeah, I want him to get back to work, but it ain't the way you think that I'm saying it. It ain't like Whitey is out there saying, you know, let's go there, Josephus, let's get on back out there, man, see if you can't get another bushel pick before sundown. I'm not saying that, but there's a fear, yes, among many of us.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, look at Mr. Henry think he made a point, huh?
No, there you go, there you go. You and all of your white friends, you thought you were being real big-time man voting for a black candidate. Now we find out you're nervous that he won't get to work before 9:30 in the morning.
No, I didn't say that.
You said who's going to be waking him up when he sleeps through the alarm.
That's what's wrong with that. I mean, don't they have a Secret Service? The point is here, Phil, is that, you know, you seem to think that you know everything, and you don't know everything. You don't understand how difficult it is to be a progressive these days, because every time we take a stand on something, something happens that makes our stand look not only stupid, but unnatural and counterproductive and almost inhuman. Now, you talked about the Iran Revolution. I guess you're going to want to talk about that, huh?
No, I'm going to... I won't hassle you with that, man.
Because I've had a response.
Oh, you want to talk about the Iran Revolution? That'll get off the whole thing about Obama and how you want to get him back out to the field, huh?
I didn't say field, did I?
Well, you basically said yes.
The Iran Revolution, I got an answer for you, Ned. Those are counter-revolutionaries. And the real revolution...
Oh, get a load of you.
The real revolution was when it happened and the people threw out the Shah. And now this, these demonstrations, I don't think are... I think they go against the, you know, the what do you got, the workers and stuff like that.
You know what, Mar? The day is going to come when you don't make a, you know, the sense that you make will be so scarce that even though you're a funny guy, and you'll always be a funny guy, you will never make it again as a political commentator. You've tied yourself so closely to this strict set of values that is being a damn progressive that you're stuck.
No, I'm not stuck.
Well, then, you're going to have to sooner or later face the music. Obama's a president that you did not expect. You voted for him, not expecting him to be a lot more pragmatic than he became. You blew it. You blew it. Blew it.
Oh, we going to do Copland? I gave you a chance to be a cop, and you blew it. You blew it. Is that what you want to do? I'm going to tell you right now. I got to get out of here. I got a headache with this guy.
Bill Maher, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I'm not gone. You're going to let me say goodbye?
Go ahead.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you. Phil Hendry's wrong. Please watch me on my show. You'll understand. I want President Obama. I want the best for him. And I know I don't want him to get, you know, under the whip and start pulling a mule cart. I wish he would just, you know, I was going to say step and fetch.
Yeah, you don't want to say that.
All right. I just wish he would get moving, you know, get, you know how fast a lot. Phil, I don't think it's unfair. You know how fast blacks are, don't you?
No, I don't.
You dirty lion scum. You know how fast blacks are. Say yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you... Are you white?
Yes, I am.
Then you know how fast they can move, and I'm asking Obama to move faster. Get back to work.
Well, I'm sorry. That's a racist statement.
I'm a progressive. I'm Bill Maher.
You blew it, man. You're right. Copland. Blew it. Blew it.
I make more money than you. Oh, goodbye.
He's right about that.
Yeah, he nailed me on that one.
Nailed me on that one. Bill Maher, ladies and gentlemen, our As You Like to Hear Them segment. What a dork. I mean, talk about trying to squeeze your way out of something. I don't know whether or not Maher recognizes the way he sounded today on Blitzer, and even worse right here. He sounds like a guy that doesn't know why he voted for, who he voted for, and when he voted for. He isn't sure about anything anymore, man. He just needs to get that HBO deal extended, just maybe one, maybe two more years, and he'll think of something else.
I'm going to give out his website because he didn't have a chance on account of he hung up and got mad.
Who, Bill's website?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Zycam.com.
Get out of here with Zycam. All right, we'll be right back. Zycam.com.
Yeah, a piece of the company.
We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Well, he ain't getting rich that way either. Well, as far as I'm concerned, man, switching parties, you know, switching from slacks to a skirt, what's the difference? So a guy says, well, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go over to another party. And all of a sudden, everybody is upset that the status quo has been rocked a little bit. I hope the status quo gets rocked so much that both of these parties go under. I think it'd be fantastic if Pelosi just joined the American Nazi Party for a couple of days, just for kicks. Something, anything, man, to break up the monotony of you people and the sameness.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's, let's see, 877-876-PHIL. I'm sorry, I was caught in research here.
Yeah, what are you looking for?
Don't worry, I'll look for it. I was looking for an email that I sent that has some information that I need, so just don't sweat it, okay?
Right here, I can find it for you.
Away from me, with you. You're breathing on me. Get out of here. Who took the rest of that Red Bull?
I didn't tell you that. He told you to turn it down instead of cocaine in it.
I just took a sip.
That's my Red Bull Cola. Anyway, welcome back to our show, 877-876-PHIL. And coming up, we have As You Like to Hear Them. We will have Bill Maher, our special As You Like to Hear Them guest, which basically means we interview Bill, and he answers the way we think he probably would were he honest. All right. In this little story, may not mean a lot, but here it is. From LiveScience.com, based upon research at the University of California, Riverside, examples of same-sex behavior can be found in almost all species in the animal kingdom, from worms to frogs to birds. Now, when you talk about same-sex behavior among worms, I don't know exactly if they have... Aren't they like unisex or something, or...
Yeah, something like that. They can do it with it. Yeah, guy, boy, a boy worm. But a boy worm can have a little worm.
Okay. And nonetheless, same-sex behavior, a boy worm, same-sex behavior from worms to frogs to birds is evident throughout the animal kingdom, making the practice nearly universal among animals, according to a new review of research on the topic. It's clear, and I'm quoting from the study, it's clear that same-sex sexual behavior extends far beyond the well-known examples that dominate both the scientific and popular literature. For example, bonobos, which I don't know, some kind of an animal, dolphins, penguins, and fruit flies, according to Nathan Bailey, a postdoctoral researcher at the University of California, Riverside. Same-sex behaviors in different species. Let me move that. I can't see the clock, bud. When you put your stinking Red Bull up there, I can't see the clock, okay?
Here. You want to have some of it?
I've got some. Same-sex behavioral in different species are not all equivalent, the review finds. For instance, male fruit flies sometimes court other male flies, but their behavior is due to a missing gene that gives the flies the ability to distinguish between sexes, said Bailey, a co-author of the review. That is very different from male bottlenose dolphins who engage in same-sex interactions to facilitate group bonding, or female Laysan albatross that can remain pair-bonded for life. The review also found a gap in the literature. While many studies have tried to understand why same-sex coupling exists and why it might make sense in terms of evolution, few have looked at what the evolutionary consequences of this behavior might be. Like any other behavior that doesn't lead directly to reproduction, such as aggression or altruism, same-sex behavior can have evolutionary consequences that are just now beginning to be considered. For example, male-male copulations in locusts can be costly for the mounted male. And this cost may, it gets into a lot of stuff. Pseudo-evolutionary pressure on the locusts. As a result, a large number of males may secrete a particular chemical that discourages the mounting behavior. It's kind of behavioral problems as opposed to, you know, little baby locusts being born. In future research, Bailey and Marlene Zuck, a biology professor at UCR, plan to try and address questions about the evolutionary outcomes of same-sex couplings, focusing on albatross, and then they'll probably move up the ladder to mammals. So that's just some information for you guys, and I wanted to find the email that I sent to a guy that he needed some information, and I don't think I did it. Let me just... I'm just give me a second here. Here it is. This is for those of you who are interested. This was from, because I get an awful lot of questions, and we've had them on the show. Where's the scientific evidence? Well, the scientific evidence, as you know, guys, the scientific process. Number one, we're talking about gays. Are they born that way? The first thing that a scientist does is he tries to disprove it. That's the scientific method. You don't say, are gays born that way? Well, let's set out to prove that they are. No. No. That is not the method. The method is to disprove it. That's the only honest way that science can work. All right? You're saying what? I was born gay. And that's what, okay, now I'm going to try and disprove that theory. So they go out and they try to find big gaps in the theory. a linkage between DNA markers on the X chromosome and male sexual orientation was another study that was done at the National Cancer Institute, the Laboratory of Biochemistry, National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. And this also was doing some work on on the X chromosome. And they came to the conclusion that at least one subtype of male sexual orientation is genetically influenced, at least one. And that means where there's one, there may be more. They haven't completed their work, but they have found that at least one subtype of male sexual orientation is genetically influenced when it comes to homosexual behavior. Now, we can either stay up on the science and we can say, all right, I'm listening to this, I'm looking at this, and maybe I have to change my opinion. The question is, how many people are willing to change their minds? And this question's directed at me, too, by the way. How many people are willing to change their minds about sexual orientation in gay people when the science provides the information and they have to change their minds based on that? I don't know that there's that many of us out there who are that intellectually and, emotionally capable. We'll find out. Back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Bill Maher next hour, and as you like to hear him.
Phil Hendry.